from the Gronk bus as we roll through the bustling metropolis of downtown Cambria. It's Shenanigans.
Downtown Cambria.
Yes. This week we have Walden.
Hi. Nice catch.
Yeah. Howie.
Hello, everybody.
Craig.
Hi, Craig.
And do we have Gronk today? He's down at the end of the table, right?
There he is.
No.
Okay, then.
I guess not.
Nope.
I wasn't here last week. How good was the show last week? I didn't listen.
It was not our best show.
It was soul poisoning?
It was a little bit. The best part was the Valentines from Disney. We had some Disney Valentines. They were kind of dirty.
Okay.
We had a new person join us.
A new person?
Yeah, we had Miss Scarlet.
Miss Scarlet?
Yep.
In the library with a wrench?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've always been a Colonel Mustard.
In the dining room with a microphone.
Oh. Well, okay then.
And I can't remember what else we talked about. Seriously.
If you can dodge a microphone, you could dodge a ball.
So. Oh, we learned the difference between a snafu and a foobar and a clusterfuck.
I know what foobar is. And clusterfuck, that's just, you know, a nice word. Snafu would be...
It stands for situation normal, all fucked up.
Yeah.
Right.
They're military things.
Yes.
And so Vinny was giving us the whole lowdown on what each of them meant and how badly he was mired in each of them.
Can we talk about the fact that the guy who played Snafu in the Pacific won an Academy Award last night?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
We can talk. You guys can talk about it.
I have no idea. I didn't watch it.
No. Rami Malek.
I know
the guy who played Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury. Right.
Yeah, he was one of the Marines in the 10-part miniseries The Pacific.
I remember that.
He was Snafu.
Okay.
That was what they called him.
Huh.
Well, I'm not sure, Walden, if you were able to watch any of that. Did you have any power at that time?
No. Well, yes, we had power, but I didn't watch it.
Right. I wouldn't have watched it either.
Right.
Did all our listeners survive the big windstorm?
That's a good question.
Yeah. They talked about how bad the storm was going to be, and it ended up being, for the most part, worse than what they had predicted.
However, at least where I am, 18 to 20 miles east of here, there's not a lot of damage. And
there's not a lot here. Yeah. Last night, there was no power on Davison Road, and there's no power down Walnut, but my lights flickered twice around 4 o'clock, and that was it.
Wow. My house's lights flicked a couple times. It was dark in a couple spots in Medina. Let's put it this way. Residentially, there's a lot of people without power, but a lot of them are getting it back in pretty short order, it seems.
Right.
The biggest issue I had with this whole windstorm, there was no school today.
Right.
That's because there were lines down and stuff like that.
And I get it. I do. Debris. And there's a lot of walkers and all these districts.
And
you know,
they
districts.
Expected the initially, they had expected the high winds to end around 10 o'clock in the morning, and they were way off because it was about 3 o'clock before they calmed down.
Some of them are still gusting on the way out here tonight. So, I mean, they haven't really fully gone away, at least the
gusts. They were high enough that it would have been dangerous for kids to be out, or even drivers driving kids to school, the buses and stuff. You know.
And I love the tractor-trailer drivers who got ticketed because they drove on a throughway when there was a ban on empty tractor-trailers.
They don't listen.
No.
They never listen.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we have a George Root update because of that.
Because of that?
Yeah. Well, you know, George is not doing so hot right now.
George.
Some medical procedures, and we're hoping he gets better. He's talking about he'll be on oxygen and in a wheelchair basically for the rest of his life. But he'll feel better once they're putting a port in to drain fluid on his lungs.
Yeah.
They've drained like 8 liters.
Wow.
In 10 days, something. That's
crazy.
Yeah. So he put a thing on Facebook today. Let's squash some rumors and get some useful information out there. I am not dead. I've been at Roswell for a few days, but I'm finally learning to make the most of it. The outcome of this visit will alter my life. It looks like that when this is over, I'll be permanently on oxygen and confined to a wheelchair for the rest of my life. How long will that be? That's the real adventure. My lovely bride responded with, George, I tried to send you a big truckload of thoughts and prayers this morning. However, I just learned that the driver was ticketed by Governor Cuomo, and then the truck was blown off the skyway by high winds a short time later. So I guess you'll have to go on living without them.
Jesus. And knowing George, I think he fully appreciated that.
I would think so.
I would. Yeah, because that was meant with as much... you know, compassion is all of us are capable of giving.
And we know what George what George's thoughts are on thoughts and prayers.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And every time they send truckloads of thoughts and prayers to all these places, and all the trucks get blown off the road. So, I mean, it just happens. So,
tots and pears.
Tots and pears.
Yes. Tater tots and pears.
Speaking of tater tots, my kids love the tater tots at school, but you can never find the same tater tots when you try to make them at home or out elsewhere. We found the closest approximation is at Cheeburger Cheeburger on Niagara Falls Boulevard.
Oh.
We were there the other day. That was a $114 visit.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's six of us in our family, yeah, so with tip, that's not terrible, but...
That's a lot of tater tots.
Well, I didn't have any tater tots.
Just saying.
I had a man's meal.
Chicken nuggets?
No. I had the Sirius.
Or the tomato compote.
They all have vegetarian stuff and tater tots. But the girls said that was really, really close to school tater tots.
When they cook those tater tots, they dip them into animal fat, yes?
No.
Oh,
really?
Nope.
They use peanut oil, too?
Peanut oil.
God, like in Five Guys?
Another place I can't take my wife.
She's allergic to peanuts.
She's allergic to peanuts.
That explains a lot. Howie's wife has the same problem. She doesn't listen, so it doesn't matter.
I guess not, no.
Her dad might listen, though.
I doubt it.
Oh, I don't know. He made a comment one night at bowling that only could have come from this show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So, anyway, shall we jump into the stories for the evening? Because one of them is titled...
I didn't title it that.
Rich decided to... Who is...
Yeah, Rich is not here
tonight. Rich is not here tonight. But he decided to title this story, Howie Returns to Home Depot. Now, for those of you who are new to the podcast, at one point, several months ago, I told a story about how when my youngest was with me, I would say she was about 2 years old. I had gone shopping at a Home Depot.
So yesterday.
Right. No. She's going to be five in May. So this is about when she was about two-ish, two and a half, almost three. We stopped at a Home Depot on a Sunday morning, and I had had it at that time. I had already had two or three very large cups of coffee, and I don't remember what I had for breakfast, but combined with the coffee, it was a lot. So I was filled some stuff up in a cart, and I'm like,
greasy spoon home fries. Yeah,
let's put it this way. The other cart needed to be emptied. So I made my way to the men's room, and I sat down.
To the express checkout.
No, I didn't even check out. I'm like, I don't have time to check out. I need to...
No.
The express checkout. Yes, okay. So I made my way into the largest stall they had, which is, of course, the handicap one, but it was early enough in the morning. I didn't expect to see anybody there, and nobody walked in, whatever, which is good because my youngest was walking around outside the stroller in the stall while I'm relieving myself. And sure enough, she decides, I want to go outside. And the stall door opened out. So anybody who walked in during that, two, 3 minute time frame, they would have got an eyeful.
Hello. So, can you go find my child?
Yeah. So this story is Howie returns to Home Depot. But this is not about me. This is just about somebody else who evidently had a similar issue. The headline to this is bomb threat was actually a warning from a man who needed to poop at a Home Depot, according to a cop's report in Kansas. A polite warning and some men's bathroom humor at a Home Depot led to a 911 call about a potential bomb threat, according to a report from the Wichita Police Department. Officers were called to the home improvement store at 12:15 p.m. on Monday for, is this as in today? This can't be today. No, this was two weeks ago.
Okay. A couple weeks.
For a reported bomb threat. When police got there, an employee said he was standing at the urinal when a man came out of a bathroom stall and said, somebody told me there's a bomb in the building. You need to leave the building. The employee told police that he asked the man to repeat what he said, and the man gave the same statement two more times. The Wichita Home Depot employee left the restroom and told store security about the warning, and the security guard called 911. A store clerk recognized the man who gave the warning as a regular customer and gave the customer's name to police. The officer got a hold of the man on the phone, and he told police that he had no intention of causing such alarm, and that the comment he said was meant to be funny.
Yo, Jimmy, this is Officer Dan, your partner. I know you got today off.
Or are you at Home Depot today?
Exactly. This sounds like it could have come out of the movie Fargo. All right. The man reported to police that he was in the bathroom stall when he heard another man announce something along the lines of, you all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up. It is not known who said that, according to the report. The man said that he and another person laughed because they understood the warning. He said they understood the man was in a serious need to defecate and that he was attempting to provide a polite warning to the other patrons of the
show
bathroom.
Show number two, who's boss?
The, quote, regular customer told police he was trying to be funny when he gave the warning to another man, the store employee, in the bathroom. He said he didn't know the men's bathroom humor was going to be taken so seriously. Police say Home Depot security does not want to press any charges. Thank God. That would have led to such frivolous use of taxpayer dollars in a court case that would have just clogged up the system. No pun intended.
Oh, pun but, definitely intended.
Yeah.
That would have backed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
What they don't tell you in this article, he was using the display model.
Oh,
that has actually happened.
Oh, jeez. That's just wrong.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, a couple things about that. One, I give the guy applause saying, you know, we got to clear out. I'm fixing to blow this place up. And for the people who were in there understanding it. Two, why was the security guard so certain that there was literally a bomb? I mean, wasn't the guy saying it with like a smile on his face to be funny? Or was the security guard?
He was doing the penguin walk really quick to the stall. You think they would have figured that out?
Right. Well, here's the thing.
If he's coming through the bathroom unzipping.
Right. His suspenders were already down. Yeah.
The belt's undone.
She got the flap open. He got it all.
Yeah. He's like, get out of the way.
But it's like a game of telephone from the one employee standing at the urinal who said, somebody told me there's a bomb in the building and you need to leave the building, to y'all better get out of here. I'm fixing to blow it up. That's a pretty serious game of telephone right there.
Right.
At least it had an okay result, because
nobody got time for that.
Right. Because Home Depot's like, look, our bad, we're sorry, and everything just kind of, you know, came in one end and out the other, so to speak. Right. And that was it. And look, it makes for a funny story, and in the end no one got hurt,
and it was probably a contractor. If you've ever been on a construction site, contractors are the worst.
And I'm imagining a contractor would have said that. A dad would have been like, shh, or whatever. You
know. Right.
Yeah.
And that would have told everybody on this podcast a couple months later.
Absolutely. Hey, guess what happened to me? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Only at Home Depot. And only Rich would title it me returning to Home Depot. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
Where were you on February 13th? If you say Wichita, Kansas.
No. That was a Wednesday. I think it was bowling.
I think we were.
Yeah, that was the night I bowled like a 493. And I had a 213 in the last game. And I'm like, I couldn't find seven extra pins. I mean, come on.
Dude, I couldn't find any pins that night. Though I started off the first game really well with a strike, nine spare. And then it went to hell.
Yeah. I think
the first ball of the second game, thunk right in the gutter.
Nice.
But I finished with a 144 in that second game.
I think so. I had
a terrible start, but...
My third game, I started off with five straight strikes. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then I had like a spare. I missed one, and then another couple strikes in a row, and I went with a 213. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
But again...
Is that your highest single game score?
I think that might be my highest single game score in league play. I have bowled a 232 before, but it wasn't a sanctioned result.
It was the Wii.
No, it was in real life. But again, I bowl a 213. I'm hoping I can get a 500. I didn't do it because the middle game sucked, but whatever.
My first year bowling, I was intent on breaking 400. When I finally did it the last week of the season,
stands on the
I
table.
I stood up on like, the
yay!
Table and screamed.
And then embarrassed himself at the banquet when he saw the results sheets, because you get the whole right. The game log. He says, wait a minute. This says I broke 400 way back in October.
Shit.
But that was it was the same score. It was 403.
Yeah.
Both of them were 403. They were the highs of my bowling. I am not very good.
Me either.
So last year I bowled much better.
Yeah.
My average went from like 117 to 138.
Well,
it's a good jump.
It's a good jump.
Yep. And on the weekend of the roll-offs, I came
did
in
very well.
Fourth.
Yeah.
And then this year, I don't know what happened.
You're kind of settling somewhere in the middle.
Low middle. I am the lower upper middle class.
Lower upper middle.
Yeah, so I'm perfectly.
That's Jessica Simpson math right there.
Right.
Yeah. It's like I'm almost 24, which is almost 25, which is almost mid 20s.
Or tuna.
Yeah, it's a chicken.
Chicken
fish.
In the sea. Chicken in the sea.
Is it chicken or fish? So hey, speaking of the sea, that's a good segue.
With machine guns.
Have you guys heard about this new cruise?
That's actually where Rich is at.
Is he there?
He made the thing saying that his excuse was the root canal or whatever that he says he's doing. But yeah, he is on the Golden Girls cruise. He missed booking for Star Trek.
Well, this is the next best thing, obviously.
And then he missed the booking for the Sextile cruise. And so he settled for the Golden Girls.
Equally as popular.
Yeah.
And
he can dress like an old lady and not go to jail this time.
The sex dolls are a bit different. So this is it's actually kind of crazy how much of a following the Golden Girls have acquired over the last, like, I mean, they were fun to watch when they were on or whatever, but it's like over the last couple of years, there seems to be another.
Thanks, Lifetime.
Groundswell of support for the Golden Girls.
It's a great show. It really is.
Yeah, they were.
It includes a cheesecake party, but they can't have too much cheesecake because they'll get bound up.
The show featured Bea Arthur, who could just stare down any. She
was in the Marines, wasn't she? She was.
I think she was in military.
She was like in the Army Air Force, or right. She was a SWAC. Yeah.
She was a badass.
She was the unemployment agent who was handling all the unemployed Romans in the History of the World Part 1.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And she's like, occupation. The guy says, gladiator. Did you kill last week? No. Did you try to kill last week? Yes. This is your last week of unemployment insurance. If you don't kill this week, we're going to have to change your status. And Mel Brooks comes up and says, she says, occupation, stand-up philosopher. What? I'm a stand-up philosopher. I coalesce the vapor of modern society into a very intelligent comprehension. She goes, oh, a bullshit artist.
Okay. During World War II, she was a truck driver in the United States Marine Corps.
Oh, I didn't think she was that deep in it.
She was got an honorable discharge as a staff sergeant.
No shit.
B. Arthur, yeah. B.A., badass.
Yeah.
That's why you don't mess with, what the hell was her name in the show?
Dorothy,
yeah. You don't mess with Dorothy.
Or Maud.
Or Maud, yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you got Betty White, who's still kicking and is still hysterical.
She is.
Her dusty muffin?
Oh, God, that's a funny bit. I love the fact that she was in a movie with Sandra Bullock in Deadpool.
Oh, yes.
The Proposal.
Yep. You don't remember that?
Nope.
It's kind of a chick flickish, which is probably why you didn't see it.
Yeah. Well, I don't watch a lot of movies.
No?
It's like you said, Deadpool. I know that's Ryan Reynolds, but I've
Ryan yeah, Reynolds still haven't seen is basically it's Sandra Bullock is Canadian and has to basically fake a marriage or fake an engagement to Ryan Reynolds so that she's not deported to Canada.
Okay.
The whole premise of the movie is like,
she just climbed over the wall.
Exactly. So the premise of the movie is silly, but it's actually worth a watch. It's a good date movie with you and your wife. It's cool. And Betty White's hysterical.
Does she like to watch movies?
Yes, as long as they don't have any nuts.
No nuts. So Space Nuts is out.
Which takes out all my favorite movies.
I imagine your movies have a lot of melons.
That too.
Okay.
Melons and nuts.
That's what you guys missed last week, the G-rated Pornhub channel.
Really?
Yeah, where the guy said, I tuck you in after you come. And it's literally him making the bed.
Oh, my God. Well, he said come, so immediately it's not G-rated anymore.
Right.
Wow.
You can't even put that on a cake. You're going to put it in a G-rated film.
The plumber arrives and fixes the leak.
I was watching. You have Netflix, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a show called Trigger Warning with Murder Mike. Murder Mike's like a rapper.
Okay.
But it's all, like, the first episode is him trying to live in a black economy. So he doesn't go to supermarkets. He can't drive a car. Everything he does has to be sourced from a black business. But there's the second episode where he's trying to get people interested into learning a trade. So he gets a focus group together and they're like, why don't you go on YouTube and watch these videos? This is how this guy learned how to do all these trades. And he's like, well, they're not interesting. If you made them more interesting, then we'd watch them. So he gets an idea to basically make videos of learning trades and watching porn at the same time.
Wow.
So it's people fucking and changing an outlet in a wall, like teaching how to like fix a lamp and all this shit while they're fucking.
It's easier to do in doggy style.
Right. For sure.
Keep your hands free.
But it's an interesting show, and it's,
here, hold my beer.
I definitely recommend it. It
sounds.
Speaking of television shows, I know you're not into the show NCIS Los Angeles. I am watching season 7. I get the DVDs out of the library.
Is that the one with Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J?
Yes.
Okay.
So in season 7, I think it's episode 5. It's called "Blame It on Rio." They make a ton of 80s references. They talk about Kit, and they talk about the A-Team, and LL Cool J goes, "Don't even say it. I've been the fool." And it's a little Asian guy who, what was that movie about? They were building cars.
Oh, George Wendt, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
What the hell was the name of that movie?
I can't remember the name of it, but there's reference to that in it. They make, who's the better, what's the better car, Herbie or, you know, Kit? Well, I like Kit because Kit, you know, like, come easily on. Yeah.
There's,
except Lindsay down. Lohan was in Herbie, so.
Well, that was, yeah.
That was later Herbie, though.
Kind of a reboot.
Yeah. Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, she wants to sue CBS now because her mother lost the Celebrity Survivor or whatever the hell it was.
Oh,
she got voted off the island. She was the last person to be voted off, so the other person won.
I didn't know her mother was on.
And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you, you know, you fired my mom from your show. I'm going to sue you guys for stupidity. Yeah.
She needs to stop.
Your name is Lindsay Lohan. Your rap sheet.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Let's go back over some of your highlights.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. George Wendt was in. So
he's looking up the movie now.
Made in America.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That's what it was.
Made in America.
Yeah. So the guy that they're trying to get and then protect is this little Asian dude. And it was hilarious.
He makes him do calisthenics every morning.
Oh. That episode was so funny. Howie would love that episode.
There are episodes of a lot of the DC Comics shows on,
and I haven't gotten,
on CW where there's references frequently to different pop culture type of things. Sometimes they're meta references too. Like, do you remember the TV show Smallville?
Yeah, I never watched it though.
Smallville had a great scene. I'll mention two of them. One, then when they later seasons when they introduced the Green Arrow, right around that time in the comic books, Black Canary kills the Green Arrow, somehow that's I think that's how it went. So they introduced Black Canary for like 4 episodes. So the two of them walk off at one point at the end of a scene, and he goes, "Man, you just kill me, don't you?" And it's like, okay, that's a reference to common stuff. Mm-hmm. And at one point there was a scene where Clark Kent / Superman, who was never actually Superman in the show with the exception of like maybe 5 seconds in the last episode, he looks at somebody and says, "What do you expect me to do? Just fly up and spin the earth backwards to turn back time," which is a blatant rip on Christopher Reeve. I mean, sometimes the references people can make with different shows that have come before and different movies that have come before are great. Like
that was like, was it Supergirl? They had Jay and Silent Bob.
Supergirl had Jay and Silent Bob. Kevin Smith was directing the episode.
Oh, okay.
And it was basically they were in a warehouse.
They were Jay and Silent Bob.
But they were not named Jay and Silent Bob. They had to move some cartons from one part of a warehouse to another, and Kevin Smith's like, "Come on, I really got to keep this job." And Bob, or no, it was a
Jay
was saying that, and Silent Bob was like, "I don't know." So a lot of times there's all these different references, and unless you're paying attention, you don't get it. I can remember I took a course on TV of the 80s and 90s when TV first started getting a memory of itself. Tony Danza was in Taxi.
Yes, he was.
Tony Danza was also in Who's the Boss.
Yes.
And at one point, there's an episode of Who's the Boss.
We have the same birthday.
That's something. So there's an episode of Who's the Boss. There's a throwaway scene where Tony Danza is just kind of flipping channels. And what you hear on the TV is the theme song of Taxi. And he's like, "Oh, I love that show." And it's just like, okay.
That was like in Sons of Anarchy. They were taking the mother to a safe house. and she played Peg Bundy. And the one guy goes, "We got to, you can't leave here. We should have you in disguise." "What do you mean? I don't, I'm not wearing any disguise. You know what? High heels and a red wig. Not on your life."
There are so many great references on TV nowadays because there's so much to draw from. It's actually kind of fun to watch, and just the way things kind of...
That's why you're going to like this book that I just finished yesterday.
I'm looking forward to reading that book.
As long as you know Star Trek II, that's like most of it.
He's been promoting this book for quite a while, so at least on Twitter anyway. So I've been following it, so I'm looking forward to reading it. So
I saw that you were a follower. I don't know if you knew him or not.
I don't know him. He's somewhere in the West Coast. He's a dad of a little girl who's, I want to say, anywhere from between 4 and 6 years old. And I think at one point he wrote for, he was an NHL beat writer.
Right. I saw that.
So yeah.
It's a great book. I read it in about 4 hours.
I am encouraged. So I won't
read
it
that fast. Star Trek 2 is definitely gets a lot of play in that. And as long as you know the basics of Doctor Who, you'll get what he's talking about.
It's time travel. It's fun.
Yeah.
Right now, the book I'm in, I was expecting something much better than what I've gotten so far. So, but anyway, we got all that from the Golden Girls.
The twists and turns of shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a Golden Girls themed cruise.
Yes. We can have Rich report on it for us next week.
Yeah, we'll have to get his feedback on it.
Prices range from around $1,000 per person for a standard cabin to just under $1,200 for a deluxe cabin with a balcony. Prices are based on double occupancy, and each ticket includes an unlimited drinks package.
Because you got to be drunk to be on a Golden Girls cruise.
Well, they imagine that you're all going to be done drinking by 7 o'clock. Everybody there is going to be taking early bird drinks, right?
Will they have any special guests? Will Betty White make an appearance?
I don't know if Betty White makes
an
appearance.
She's, what, 97 years old?
I don't know if she's getting put her on a rocking vessel. You're asking for hips to get blown out.
She showed up on the Emmys, I think, a couple weeks ago or some award show. I don't know if it was them or the Golden Globes or whatever. And she was on stage and she was talking and she was all there, but she's slowing down.
Yeah, I saw her birthday was in January maybe, and they showed a picture of her. She's starting to age.
But
unfortunately,
we're talking about Betty White. She's
right.
And this is the only political statement I will make on this show. We have seen Betty White more recently than we have seen Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's true.
I don't know if that means anything. It might not mean anything at all. It might mean everything. Anyway, that's, like I said, the only, and interpret that how you will. So anyway, I think we should move on to the next story now that we know that we can all go take a cruise with the Golden Girls.
So we're going from the Golden Girls to bearing breasts. We've gone low.
The Golden Girls went low. It's because they're old.
Actually, yeah. So the ban on bearing of female breasts is likely unconstitutional, according to the 10th Circuit.
I've seen moves that cover those things up. Right. Where's your bro, dude?
Your bro. Your man's ear.
A federal appeals court has ruled a female-only topless ban in Fort Collins, Colorado, likely violates the Equal Protection Clause. The 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. It's not the 9th for once.
Hey, it's always the 9th.
It's always the 9th for everything. So the 10th one to jump in the game, and they made a big splash.
You know why 10? Because 10 sounds official.
The decision upholds a preliminary injunction that blocks the ordinance. The law bars women, but not men, from bearing their breasts in public below the top of the areola and nipple, except for girls younger than age 10. Or women who are breastfeeding.
I'm just going to say this. Right.
Actively breastfeeding?
Didn't say that.
I'm breastfeeding. My child's at home, but I have to get to him to breastfeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just trying to juggle a lot of things at once.
Right.
It is obvious that only men were involved in writing this law. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I don't think there were.
Gronk is getting the head massage.
Scalpage.
Yeah.
You know how his boss likes his massages end, right?
Happily.
And they lived happily ever after.
I'm not sure. He's getting slapped for all what he did. So not where he was.
He's in big trouble.
Yeah.
He is in deep doo-doo. Poor Bobby.
No, definitely not where he wants. So the city argued that the ordinance was justified because of the sexual nature of the female breast and because of concerns that bared breasts could lead to distracted driving and harm children.
How the heck does it harm children? Distracted driving.
If they get hit by a distracted driver.
I guess. Well, so you make school zones.
There you go. No,
you know, bear no free.
Bear breasts yeah. in school zones.
Bear free and gun free.
And smoke free. And I mean,
drug free, 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 free.
Oh my God, I hate those fucking commercials.
I gotta tell you, I was driving. I think I told Rich this story for sure. I was driving my work van down Main Street. I'm heading east on Main Street, right by UB, the campus there. And I'm gonna make that left turn to go on the Niagara Falls Boulevard. You know that brick part of the Niagara Falls Boulevard? So the guy ahead of me has got his left turn signal on. He's gonna turn also. So he turns and he stops, and I almost hit him. Because not because he stopped abruptly, which he did, but because I wasn't paying attention, because there was a girl on a 10-speed bike, a college student, who was leaning over her bike and in a tank top with no bra. I mean, I almost slammed into this guy. So we finally took off, and the guy's got his hand on the window with his thumbs up, and I can see him going, yeah, yeah, like, it's okay if you hit me.
What time of year was it?
It was like May.
I was gonna say, it's perfect time of year.
Yeah.
Because in Buffalo and Syracuse,
it's turtleneck season 10 months, man.
Yeah. And the second it gets above 50 degrees, everything's out. It just.
Let me tell you, 50 degrees in April is way different than 50 degrees in October.
Oh, hell yeah.
50 sure. degrees in October, and I'm ready to bundle up. And
people don't understand that once you get south of Poughkeepsie. It's just the way it works.
I watched, you're going to think this is funny, I watched yesterday the documentary about Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt, their rivalry. So at the end of the show, Jeff Gordon goes to Kannapolis, North Carolina, and goes, he's got his winter coat on, he's zipping himself up, he's got a scarf on, he gets out. In the background, you can see a bank with their thermometer. It was 60 degrees.
Oh my God. California boy. There you go.
It is funny though, depending on where you live and where you've grown up, temperatures affect people differently.
Right.
It's just the way it works.
So like my mom had to remind me yesterday that when it went from 50 degrees to 37 degrees in 20 minutes,
yep.
She goes, it's like 90 here. She's in Florida.
One of the funniest things I ever heard was that there's
God there's a breeze. Want some breeze? We got extra.
Yeah, no, it's seriously though. And there's people who live in, you know, northern Canada who probably take their winters in Minnesota. And think it's warm. Right. So it's
pretty warm there, eh? And you know what? People from Minnesota talk that way, too.
They do.
Went out to Minnetonka and dipped my feet in. What is this?
Bourbon. I am good. But thank you.
Oh, the taste.
It's pretty good.
Is it new?
It is. It's aged well.
Like that. So.
And you don't need very much. It's like... Nice. Yeah.
It's nice.
Very nice.
She put the cork in her teeth.
Yeah.
Little Rooster Cogburn action. Two fingers.
Yep.
Oh.
Mm-mm. So this, there's a whole bunch of different.
Did you check out those awesome glasses? B for bacon. My lovely bride got those for me for Christmas.
Sprinkle some bacon right in there.
Mm-hmm. I have a similar set of decanter and glasses that were given to me for being best man at my brother's wedding. Mine say B as well, but for Balaban.
Ah.
Oh, that's different.
Or badass, whatever you want to use.
All right. So
it's not bacon.
B for Balaban. Did you get everyone listen to that little tiny 2-minute thing I put together about the Balaban?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
When?
I did it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you posted it on the chat.
I posted it on the chat. Yeah. I was going to post it up on our shenanigans page as a funny, but I go, it's not really that funny, but it's funny to us.
Everything's funny to us.
It was funny when Howie's van got demolished out front.
I have seriously considered putting the escape out there, just hoping for the best.
Then you wouldn't be able to come here for another 5 months, or I have to come pick you up.
Yeah, but it'd be, you know, March starts in a couple days, so you'll be able to, at least it'll be good weather. Wait, is this mine?
They're my daughters.
Squirrel. Yeah. Totally. Shiny. Squirrel.
It's the same exact set of headphones I have. I just can't find mine. There's no tape on those. Squirrels. Yeah. Sorry.
We were talking about the usual squirrels, though.
We were.
Yeah, we were. We were talking about how.
Free the squirrels. It's inhumane to cage them.
Absolutely.
So Here
and
we go.
Fort Collins, Colorado has learned that the hard way.
The court cited testimony by a psychology professor who said society's sexualization of women's breasts has ingrained the stereotype that the primary purpose of women's breasts is sex rather than feeding babies. Quote, but laws grounded in stereotypes about the way women are serve no important governmental interest. The circuit court judge so-and-so dissented, saying the Supreme Court has been at the forefront of the March for Gender Equality, but it has never suggested that men and women are identical or that the law cannot recognize their inherent differences. Bottom line is, by the end of this, the case is free the nipple, Fort Collins versus City of Fort Collins.
Free the nipple.
Okay, so let me just say, if you can go to Alcott Beach and wear a banana hammock and you're a 350-pound man with moobs, why can't the hot chick at Tops go topless?
Well, she's at work. Because
not at work.
There's a reason for that.
Not at work.
It's unhygienic.
Though for some reason, they keep buying milk.
Well, there's six people who live here, so
I'm pretty sure New York State parks, women are allowed to go topless, but if someone asks you to cover, you have to.
But who's gonna do that?
Another lady who's jealous.
Right, that's a good point.
Pick those things up and put them away.
Tuck those into your shorts.
And she's talking to the dude of the banana hammock.
Right.
Oh, my God. So, speaking of squirrels, we're going to skip story number three and go to number four and talk about the nearly naked man covered in peanut butter visiting a Dallas dog park.
I think he lost a bet. I think that's what it is.
Yes, he lost a bet. But, dude, that's got to suck.
Oh, no.
Did they find it? Oh, my God.
Do you want to read about some guy who got it bitten off? Because
There was a story where the dog bit it off, and he passed out. And when he woke up, it was gone, and the dog had eaten it.
So it's Howie making the microphone noise.
Can't do it with a rescue.
It must be that chair, because the guy who normally sits in the chair... all the time.
I did not mean to do that. That was an accident. He's normally just like,
yeah.
So this story is actually funny. I saw the headline. I figured I didn't need to read it. The headline was plenty. The guy lost a bet and had to cover himself in peanut butter, run around naked in the dog park.
And that's why Gronk isn't here this week.
Right.
Yeah, he bet on Syracuse this week. Yeah, tough. Whatever. But
this week on X-Rated Impractical Jokers.
I like the guy. What story is this? This is on thetakeout.com. Whoever wrote this had fun with it. She writes, filmmakers and writers do this exercise. They call it storyboarding. You lay the elements of your piece out visually in little scenes or snippets and then arrange them in a manner that's cohesive and intriguing. I'll confess that right now I'm starting a metaphorical storyboard that contains the following elements of a story. Gold Speedo, naked guy, dog park, peanut butter, fantasy football, and struggling with how to arrange them. All these details are just so vivid.
No,
you don't
I'm
need to finish.
It.
Yeah.
It's fantasy football.
Yep.
You finish last. That's what you get.
Do you play fantasy football?
I do.
Me too. Howard?
I do not play fantasy football. However,
I know you do hockey.
I do fantasy hockey, and I am solidly in the playoffs.
I used to do it. I don't know what happened to our league. We just stopped doing it for some reason.
I'm in fourth out of 12.
We have 12 teams. We have two divisions of six each, and I am in third in the one division, but I'm slotted fifth in the playoffs right now.
So in my fantasy football league this year, I think I told you about this. I won the last seven games and still ended up, like, out of the 16 teams, I think I was in 14th.
Oh, my God.
Because only won one game the first.
That's,
you know,
bad.
Yeah.
That's real
nice. I think I won week one and didn't win again until...
I tied week one for hockey. Then I lost, I think, the next six or seven. Then I won one, lost another one. And now I have won, like, I want to say, I've won 12 of my last 13 weeks.
Did you pay any attention to the hockey hot stove?
The trade deadline today?
Yeah.
I picked up
Matt Zuccarello yesterday.
Oh.
Got a goal and assist, and then he went out with, like, a broken arm.
Yeah.
I guess I'm dropping him again.
He blocked a shot. I was happy with the return the Rangers got. I'm like, all right, this is good, because I'm a Ranger fan.
Yep.
Yeah, someone put together the whole return that the Rangers got for the whole season on trades they've done. They've
done well.
Really well. Sort of like what Buffalo did.
The Rangers are doing what Buffalo... Exactly. They're doing exactly what Buffalo did, but they're doing it differently to the point where they're not doing what Tim Murray did, which is tearing it down at all three levels.
Right.
The Rangers still have some decent NHLers on their roster with more on the way. We could talk sports for a whole long time. But
yeah, Rich isn't here.
Right, but... Yeah, the Zuccarello deal. I mean, there were Ranger fans like, "Oh, you got to, you can't trade him. You got to re." I'm like, people. First of all, that core has four players remaining from it. One of them is the goalie. One of them is 27 and is probably going to go, you know, another 2 or 3 years. And the bottom line is that core didn't get it done. This is the Yankees of the '80s, and Zuccarello was Mattingly. Or Lundqvist is Mattingly. Let them go on their own terms. That's fine. Zuccarello was, it doesn't matter who Zuccarello was. He's 31. He's not going to resign. Trade him. Get what you can. So they get two picks back. If Zuccarello plays half of Dallas's playoff games and Dallas makes the Western Conference Finals, the pick becomes, one of them, goes from a second rounder this year to a first rounder. Okay,
and
very nice.
If he resigns the next year.
And if he resigns, the third round of next year becomes a first round of next year. I'm like, all right, cool.
The I don't think he's going to make the playoffs.
Well, they're saying he's going to be out for 4 weeks because he blocked a shot and broke his arm. All right, so he doesn't get the second rounder, is still a second rounder. Optimum situation, he resigns in Dallas, and Dallas suffers catastrophic injuries next year, and Dallas winds up with a lottery pick, and the Rangers have it. I could live with that.
They always have that built-in clause. If it's a lottery pick, they defer it to the next year.
I don't think that's built into this one because they're not expecting. So
are the Las Vegas Golden Shower, Golden Knights, are they the New England Patriots of the NHL? Well, there's some hanky-panky going on there? Because when they got Mark Stone, he announced almost immediately that he was signing an extension there, like a $9 million extension, and it's illegal for them to have spoken before the trade.
I don't know
what
happened.
But it was pretty darn close.
It was so quick.
Yeah.
So quick. I think he just wanted an extension. And I think the fact that he's going to a state where there's no state tax or whatever, he's like, I'm going to get as much as I can. I'm going to live in Vegas. Why the hell not? We don't know what we don't know. I hate that phrase, but it's become pretty commonplace. Right. So I don't know. Let's put it this way. I'm happy with what my team has done. I think Sabres fans should be pretty happy with the fact that they got a very good young defenseman in Brandon Montour the other day, giving up
But he didn't play tonight.
Sabres, they're playing now.
I know, but he didn't play.
He, didn't
he was there, but he didn't play.
He also was like up for like 30 some odd straight hours. I mean, he was he would not have performed well, let's put it that way. But he's a piece they can use to build around. They didn't say we're going all in.
Right.
But they also didn't say we're going to stand pat. This is something that it was an eye to the future move.
Right.
And I'm positive that if the Sabres had not had that 10-game winning streak in November, December, then everybody would be happy with where they are right now.
All right. So Jeff Skinner, the Sabres traded Cliff Pugh and another guy for Jeff Skinner.
Is it pronounced Pugh?
I don't know.
He was traded today.
Pooh?
I think it's just Pooh.
He was traded today, though.
He was traded today, but he's playing in the ECHL for future considerations. So Cliff got traded for a bag of pucks and a free ride on the Zamboni in period two.
Basically, that was it. I love the best thing I saw was somebody was traded today for a fifth-round draft pick in 2022.
Holy shnikes.
And...
no one told them in 2022 they're only going to four rounds.
Right.
But the funniest thing I saw was one of the WGR radio hosts says that's the equivalent of saying we're going to give you this guy and you give us a skate guard. Right. I mean,
you know what? That's a sweetener for a bigger deal later.
Absolutely. I mean, Rangers.
Yeah. Remember that time?
Yeah. I mean, next year alone, the Rangers have three picks in the seventh round. The Rangers have five picks in the first two rounds this year. Where they're all going to shake out remains to be seen, especially with...
I think the Sabres had three. They traded one away today.
They did. They did.
But they still might
not have
St. Louis's this year.
Yeah, that's a conditional one.
Was it St. Louis or San Jose?
It's going to be one or the other is going.
Right.
If the pick is between 11 through 20, it goes from... One of them is going. If the pick is...
Well, one of those, either San Jose or St. Louis, has the option to pull it back.
Right. One of those two picks is going to go if it's somewhere between 11 and 30. Buffalo gets to keep any of those picks. I don't know. It was a very convoluted way of doing it, and it was the one that was going back towards Anaheim for Montour.
Right. Meanwhile, there's a guy with peanut butter rubbed on his body at a dog park.
Because he sucks at fantasy football.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, but Rich wasn't here to shut us up. Right. So.
The long and winding road.
With Nick.
Sorry, I had to do it. So, all right. So basically, this guy lost a bet. He placed last in his 12-person fantasy football league. And wait, does it say where he's from?
Yes, it does.
Texas.
He's from the same damn town as Vinny's.
As Vinny. Yes.
No kidding.
Uh-huh.
He's from Dallas, Texas.
He's from Arlington, Texas, okay, which is outside of Dallas.
He covered himself in creamy Jif peanut butter and entered the dog park. He stood there for 5 minutes while dogs eagerly approached for a snack and spectators watched in confusion. His girlfriend filmed the incident. And this writer writes, why? Why, for the love of God? So the penalty for which was to pay $250.
His whole league started off really bad because his first pick overall. Oh.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That is funny.
So he could have gotten out of this by paying $250.
This was one of those things, like, it was Monopoly. It's either you pay the $50 to get out of jail or roll the dice. He's like, I'm just going to roll the dice and hope they don't bite in places that
first
I
comment on this story. Let he who hasn't let a dog lick peanut butter off his body be the first to call the cops. So judgy.
That's funny. So, all right. What else do we talk about tonight? Oh, I saw this one. I'm glad this is on the list. Lightsaber dueling has officially become recognized by the French Fencing Federation.
What?
Yes. Just like Jedi Knight is a recognized religion in Australia, France is now recognizing
lightsaber. You have to do the sound effect when you're doing it.
Lightsaber dueling has officially become recognized by French Fencing Federation. Lightsaber battles at the Olympics, that would be freaking cool. Although I don't think any amount of body armor is going to protect from a lightsaber.
Yeah,
strike.
I mean, they're going to need real lightsabers.
Dun, 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 dun. Why are they raising?
I mean, dun, 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 dun.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine. Yes. France's Fencing Federation, say that three times fast.
France's Fencing Federation, Francis, I can't.
It has officially recognized lightsaber dueling, placing it alongside the traditional disciplines of epee, foil, and saber. No, the lightsabers are not actually like the ones wielded in Lethal Effect in Star Wars, but the advent of the sport has given some a new hope, as it were, of pulling youngsters away from video games and into physical activity. With young people today, it's a real public health issue. It's become difficult to persuade young people to do a sport that has no connection with getting off the sofa and playing with one's thumbs. That is why we are trying to create a bond between our discipline and modern technology, so participating in a sport feels natural.
It's not modern technology, it's future technology.
That's right.
Let's see now. Something amiss here. I'll run through it. Hold, ha, guard, turn, parry, dodge, spin, ha, thrust.
Oh my god.
And that's the way you win.
Yeah, that's right. So instead of containing plasma, the lightsabers being used for duels here on Earth are made from rigid polycarbonate, not to be confused with carbonite. With LED lighting and, in some cases, proper sound effects built in, which they need to have, to ensure action that resembles what fans have thrilled to in the movies, as well as to distinguish the dueling from its more traditional cousins. Rules require participants to point the tips of their lightsabers behind them before attempting to land blows. Really. While doing so, they are temporarily immune from attack, leading to clashes marked by sweeping movements. Okay, now they're going to get into the rules of lightsaber fencing?
Yeah, who cares about that? How about turning your microwave into
goo?
Well, who knew? I had no idea that if you put grapes in your microwave, they turn into molten balls of fire.
What?
Yeah.
Balls of Fire sounds like the great name for a band.
Since when?
Seriously, though, doesn't it? Balls of Fire sounds like a great name for a band. I'm just... Okay, anyway. Grapes.
Scientists finally figured out why grapes spark in the microwave, and it might have implications for surgery, time travel, and national security. Not time travel, space travel. I was thinking about that book.
Well, if it goes with time travel, is just going to turn a grape into a raisin anyway. So, anyway.
Good point.
The young Slepkov discovered the old grape in the microwave trick, in which a sliced grape erupts into a fireball of plasma, an ionized gas that is considered the fourth state of matter and is present in large quantities in, among other places, the sun. 20 years later, he is now a physics professor, took on his own experiment to explain how the phenomenon worked. First of all, the rules. from a thorough inspection of the internet's best microwaved grape fireball videos, which I didn't know. Can you find that on Pornhub? My balls are on fire.
Yeah, you can find it on Pornhub for sure.
Under fetish video, yes.
It seemed to be necessary to cut the grape in half before microwaving, leaving a small ion-rich skin bridge. Oh, definitely on Pornhub.
They took my skin bridge off when I was a baby.
Between the two.
Mazel tov.
You know why? Because it's tradition.
I moved up to Western New York in 1993, just a few days after my bar mitzvah. Okay. So I'm sitting in study hall in eighth grade and talking to, you know, some of my new friends. I'm like, yeah, I'm Jewish. And they go, one says, you ever have one of those bar mitzvahs? I go, a bar mitzvah? He goes, yeah, yeah, one of those. I go, yeah, I had it, you know, just last month. He goes, dude. I go, what's the matter? He goes, didn't that hurt? I'm like, no, that's the wrong thing. That's a completely different thing.
Riddle me this.
Okay.
Because you're a Judaist.
A Judaist, okay.
Yeah, we're keeping George's spirit alive.
That's fine. I'm all right with that.
If a man has been circumcised already, but he is Christian, but converts to become a Judaist, does he have to have another nip, right?
That's a question for a rabbi. My guess would be no.
Wait, we take off more?
No, they just do it like a thing that...
It's a ceremonial pinprick.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think that happens when you convert. I would seriously doubt that happens to anybody who converts. I'm sure...
It's like when you go in for your vasectomy and they have to give you the shot for the numbing. And they go, this will just be a little prick. You didn't tell me that was a side effect.
Changed my mind. We got a runner.
Next thing you know, you got a guy wandering around the hallway like Jack Nicholson and something's got to give where his ass is just hanging out. Nah, this is a cool story with grapes.
I'm going to try it.
Well, let's go.
I'm going to try it at work because we have a microwave there.
That makes more sense.
You want to blow up a microwave, blow up the one at work.
Oh, I took the microwave to work. I found it on the side of the road, and we needed one for our lunchroom. So I picked it up. I have no idea if it works. If it does, great. It's worked for 8 years.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I don't feel so good, though, and my hair is patchy. I'm going to go cook this Hot Pocket. Take the lead apron.
Every time I talk in there, everyone goes, tell me more.
That's funny. All of this information may someday contribute to better understanding of a field called nanoplasmonics.
I could care less about that. Couldn't care less about that. I want to see the molten balls of fire in the microwave.
Right. That's true.
Fire.
Until then, this can simply be fired under cool videos to watch and fruit-based physics questions that got much more serious than we ever expected.
Because we should make a disclaimer here right now. Adults, you dumbasses who want to try this at home, don't do it.
Don't. Exactly. I agree. Just don't do it.
They were saying on the shenanigans.
Oh, God. So
don't really try this at home. Try it outside. If you can plug your microwave in outside.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, just like if you're going to deep fry a turkey, do it outside.
There you go.
Not within 20 feet of your house, though.
No. So
get an extension cord, a really long extension cord.
Yeah.
You don't get two extension cords. Plug them in together. It's totally safe.
Yeah.
Wait until just after the rain.
So anyway, why don't we find...
We got to go to the Napoleon story.
I think that's a good one to end on. That ought to wrap things up for the evening. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Napoleon had nothing on these guys. Well, who were these guys? Let's find out.
I love the title of this, and you know that it came from Rich. And he's going to be pissed that we talked about it without him, but can't make it here. I don't feel good.
Make better scheduling of your dental issues.
Yeah. No more dentist appointments on Mondays.
Did he tell you what time his appointment was?
Was it probably like 7 o'clock in the morning,
no,
wasn't it?
2:30.
2:30. Is this really the story? It says Napoleon had nothing on these guys, and the story is three dicks in a box. Is that
Do you
the story?
Know Napoleon had Napoleon's penis is in a museum?
What?
Yeah.
Is it next to John Dillinger's?
No, because it would be definitely inadequate next to Dillinger's.
Why did you put my penis next to this one?
In France, this is a big one.
At the Monroe Moosenick Medical History Museum in Kentucky, there is a locked...
Moose knuckle.
Yes. There's a locked antique case filled with 200-year-old penises that are only shown to visitors in the know.
Well, now we know.
Yes, and knowing is just half the battle. Inside the story here, there is a link to the oh-so-classic SNL short, Dick in the Box.
My favorite Halloween costume.
You've only gone to jail twice for it.
It's supposed to be in the box. I forgot. I'm sorry.
That can get you in trouble, too.
Right. It's a whole...
especially in public.
Yeah. A whole prelude here, getting to the actual... crux of the story. So it says, at this museum in Lexington, Kentucky, there amidst the world's largest buffalo hairball and a 19th century stomach pump, they have not one, but three dicks in a box quietly tucked away in an unassuming antique case that is not on exhibit. They're huge and hulking. They have the Hulk stick. That's crazy. At least a foot long each and are now, thanks to time, a nice crumbly shade of brown. They look like huge turds.
Oh, my God.
There's a picture. It looks like a huge turd. Yes, they're real, and yes, you can see them if you ask. According to Jamie Day, the museum's curator, these bad boys date back to the early 19th century and were used to educate future doctors during the Victorian era on the male reproductive and urological system. They are not part of the museum's regular display and instead are tucked away in a box, lest visitors become scandalized by their un-PG presence. This author only found out about them because when they went there, they appreciated my unbridled enthusiasm for some of the museum's less popular displays, like the severed head with part of the skull sawed away.
I just found something in this article that we should really listen to very carefully.
Am I there yet?
No.
Okay. If you like that, I've got something that'll really surprise you, the curator told the author, so I took the bait. You may be wondering what use a medical school would have and what the hell would have for disembodied penises, but when you consider that they probably had bladders attached to them, it makes more sense. I'm going to skip that parenthetical unless the thing's in the parenthetical.
They collected vaginas, too, which I'm not sure how to do that.
Interesting.
Sure how that...
Okay, so here's this line. The pickling of the peenies...
I'm sorry.
...is to credit for giving them their dark sheen and mammoth size.
So they expanded in the pickling process.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Okay.
So I'm just going to... Yeah. I'm going to buy a jar of Vlasic and throw the pickles out.
And throw the pickle in.
Yeah. I'm going to fuck that jar.
Yeah, good airtight seal around that and just wait
a while. Yeah.
So then there's a medical journal here that talks about how to prepare the penis. A large penis is always preferred. Okay.
Sure.
And it should be removed from the body. No.
No.
No. I'm out.
To thwart hungry bugs, the penis is soaked in a caustic solution, sometimes followed with suspending it in arsenic. It's basically they're mummifying these dicks. Okay.
Soak it in arsenic. There goes half the fun of having it.
Wow.
It gets injected with a color wax or mercury, followed by a long period of drying and then a layer of varnish. Can you imagine being the poor schlep who has to like varnish the penis?
What do you do? Well,
we just got our samples from Jamaica. I'm getting overtime, right?
Have a nice day.
Yaman. The three penises have also been used in their fair share of pranks. The curator said folks who asked to see the infamous box like to send photos of the phalluses to unsuspecting friends and family members. And you've got to admit, they are rather shocking to behold. Even Ozzy and Jack Osbourne have been duped by this Pandora's box. In an episode of their show, Ozzy and Jack's World Detour, they were presented with the case without being told what was inside it. A handwritten note normally under that lid that says, warning, three penises inside, was conveniently missing to add dramatic effect. Box of dicks, fucking L, Ozzy proclaimed in his slurry British accent, while Jack laughed in the background.
But it sounded like this.
Shut up. Oh my God.
Good God.
So we end with a box.
Are you gonna donate your junk to science so it's in a museum someplace?
It's pristine, so
it might get more use that way. It might get more use.
Low mileage.
Mint condition, baby.
Only used three times.
Got the trophies to prove it. That's right.
Yeah, I don't know where we can go from there.
Yeah, I have nothing to say in response to that.
And does Gronk?
Gronk.
Gronk?
Hello, Gronk.
No, 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 no.
Okay, then.
I guess not.
Nope. I can't believe he didn't show up. Well, you know, we put out the invitations to him.
One of these days, he's going to show up and just kick all of our asses and leave.
Yeah.
And we'll get all that audio on tape, and we'll put that in the show, and that'll be the show.
He could have had some awesome burp. He will kick my ass.
I'll punch him in the elbow and run.
He's got concussion problems, too.
That, too, yeah.
Yeah. The doors are low, so don't tell him to duck. Well, so for Walden and Howie, and I'm Craig. Thanks for listening. Hopefully next week we'll get Rich back, because don't we just need his dry caustic humor?
We kind of do.
Yeah.
Once it's soaked in arsenic.
Yeah.
Right. And varnished.
And varnished.
Because he's such a dick. Oh! I'm sorry, it meshed with the conversation.
It's Rich. It's Rich.
I didn't even. That was an accidental, Howie. And it worked.
Yeah. And hopefully I have Vinny back, too. I'm kind of surprised he didn't arrive tonight. But, you know, sometimes things happen. So for the trio here, thanks for listening. Have a good night.